Today on Nine Wex Radio, is the golden age of the sports car upon us?
Brought to you by Nineworks.co.uk, the fastest growing online Porsche community, supported by the Nineworks Marketplace. Nineworks Radio is your dedicated Porsche and car podcast, hosted by Lee Sibley, Andy Brooks, and Max Newman. Nineworks Radio is carefully produced with special input from experts around the industry and powered by our valued members of the Nineworks Driven Not Hidden Collective.
Max, Andy. Hello.
Good day.
We're back.
New series.
Right, ladies and gentlemen at home, welcome back to a new series of Nine Wex Radio, the Porsche podcast presented by three friends who served you with a fact-packed conversation, a fierce passion for the brand, and the odd fluffing of the value of our own cars along the way. The podcast is primarily made to serve our members of the Driven Not Hidden Collective, as well as all Porsche enthusiasts worldwide. And it's free to listen to, thanks to our friends at Heritage Parts Centre, our new sponsors of the podcast, boys. Heritage stock over 25,000 Porsche VW and Land Rover parts now. The Porsche side of which covers everything classic, so that's up to and including 997 and 987 as well. Take a look at heritageparkcentre.com with worldwide shipping available. And keep this to yourself, listener, but if you enter the code 9WEX10 at the checkout, you can get up to 10% off your basket. All right, gents, there we go. So welcome back. How are you both doing?
Wicked, man.
Nice. A little rested.
I'm loving that. I'm well rested after that intro. That is awesome. It's good to be back.
Yeah, we did. We have been up to all sorts, haven't we? There's been many events attended by us. We've done our first Nine Wex road trip of the year as well. And we did say when we were in Wales that we're going to buy a buzzer. So we'll make sure each one of us have this buzzer from now on. So from this series and henceforth, if somebody else participates in any fluffing of their own Porsches, there's going to be a Britain's Got Talent style heard on the other end. Maybe there could be a fiscal penalty and we could end up raising what would, in fairness, be a serious
amount of cash. I can't afford it.
I was going to say, Andy's going to be penniless if that's going to be the tariff.
Andy's well away. It doesn't matter what happens. The money he's made on that SC in the last year, he can give half of it away.
Deary me.
So we've been out and about. Max, you've been, I think, hiding behind the lens of the camera at various events up and down the country the last couple of weeks.
Well, should we ask Max how married life is first?
Well, it's probably why he's been at all of these events the past couple of weeks.
I'm surprised I've been able to get to any events, to be honest, now that I'm married.
Yeah.
Now that more is being asked of me on a daily basis.
There we go. That's how it starts, Max.
Know, yeah. I'm lucky to get out at all. You know, three weeks and a day into married life as we record. You know, it's you can always see that I've already got more grey hairs.
You do look a bit aged.
Yeah, I know. Tired, old. Yeah, you know how it is.
Go on then, mate. Where you been? Where have you been?
I went to Goodwood members meeting. I went with Hugh of Nine Wex merch and Group C fame,
legend,
and our mutual friend Duncan, who introduced us actually. Duncan and his friend and his wife Kate. So we all piled into the McCann and bombed down there and then back again because Duncan forgot the tickets and then back again.
No!
How far did you get?
We got from Duncan's house. He lives very close to me, sort of 40 minutes to Hugh's house.
Oh, no.
In Burco, which is in the right direction.
Yeah.
Picked him up and then Duncan's like, I've got the tickets.
Reality hit.
Yeah, so back to his house and then down. So, but, you know, in the McCann, it's all good. Everyone's brilliant. Comfortable. Everyone's happy. So that was good. That was a good day out, really good day out. Highlight, I think, probably was certainly in Nine Wex terms, was meeting Justin Reed. So Justin Reed was in
All the way from Australia.
All the way from Australia, Fantastic. Part of a European tour with his wife. He'd managed to negotiate, so he's doing well. He'd managed to negotiate 2 days at Goodwood members meeting. So with the help of Zach was in charge of on-site planning. We managed to get a little Nine Works huddle going.
Brilliant.
By some 917s, of course. And Justin was part of that. So that meant that we all got to meet Justin, which is great fun. And Saqib and, you know, loads of people, Owen and his wife and kids as well, and all sorts of folk. So that was good fun. And that probably was the highlight, actually, because what I thought was going to be the highlight, which was a Can-Am Ferrari, 7 litre flat 12 Ferrari Can-Am car, 712P, which looked amazing. Didn't see it turn a wheel. I desperately wanted to hear that. Well, I thought that's going to be the most amazing thing I've ever heard. Unfortunately, it didn't start up. But I suppose then the next highlight was Gerhard Berger in his 1990 Ferrari Grand Prix car, which I think is probably a V12 then rather than a Boxer. And he was leather in that, so much so that he didn't drive it the next day. I think he broke it. He either broke the car or broke himself.
Broke himself, yeah.
or maybe he broke himself at the party on Saturday night. I don't know. But only those of us who were there on Saturday got to hear that. That was the main thing. You know, leathering a V12 Grand Prix car around Goodwood. That's pretty epic.
And what's members meeting like? I've not been, always wanted to go.
It's good. It's good. Yeah. It's good. It's the demographic is the right word. It's spread over a greater age of car than the Revival. I think at the Revival they keep it to the date that the circuit closed as a sort of international circuit.
Earlier stuff.
So, which is, I think, the 1960s. Mm. But members meeting, they take it up to the 1980s. So that brings in the, you know, the sort of saloon car stuff.
Yeah.
So that's good. And you have to be a Goodwood Road Racing Club member or a fellowship member or some nonsense like that to be able to buy a ticket. So that keeps the numbers lower. So in terms of Goodwood car events, it's the least populated event.
Yeah.
And that's also quite nice because the Revival and certainly the Festival of Speed are pretty hectic.
Yeah.
So it is a good do. It's a good do. And actually, although not so much this year, that slightly sort of later period of cars that it takes in means that there's perhaps more Porsche interest than there would be, Porsche interest than there would be at the Revival. So not so much this year, but sometimes there's a lot. But yeah. So it's good. It's a really good day out. And someone else I just wanted to mention, I was in the model car sort of stall, toy shop bit of the sort of trade stands. And I had my head down looking for this particular model that I've got sort of in my mind that I'd quite like to be able to find. And, you know, shuffling past people. And this bloke said, "I like your podcast." So anyway, so I got chatting to a guy called Dean Clark, who's a listener from Road to Redline days, been through a 996 and a Boxster, doesn't have a Porsche at the moment. So we got chatting, he and I, and yeah, super, super guy. So that was a nice little connection to make. We've
put it
up on Instagram since then. So yeah, hello to Dean. I expect he'll be listening. So yeah, that was nice. Thanks for saying hello.
Super.
It's good.
Absolutely super.
We were both at the Scramble last weekend, weren't we?
Yeah, it was Sunday.
Fantastic to meet so many people over the week. Well, over that day, I didn't really see any cars, to be honest. It was just all chat. It was great.
Andy Scramble, I think they call it, don't they?
It was Arthur Daly, I think you call that. Yeah.
I had the
boot open full of merch and lots of interested people in merch.
Blogging.
Yeah, vlogging merch.
No, income tax, no guarantee. No money back. Oh, dear.
That was it. I had my jacket, the gold fur jacket on the lot.
Yeah, it was good. That was good. I arrived late, unfortunately. I had a bit of dog duty to do and then left in good time. And it was hectic, Andy.
Wasn't it? Busy.
Toby and I almost jogged round at the end.
Did you?
I've got to at least do one lap of the sort of technical area, whatever they call it, technical site. I've got to get around once before I leave. So Toby and I disappeared off with his dog and basically jogged round and then I had to leave. But I did get to see Guy's new car for the first time.
Did you? I didn't see it.
Yeah, it looks good. Does look good. Who else did I see? I saw Simon from Cameron Sports Cars. That was cool. I had to catch up with him and a load of other people. It was It was a good do. It was a good do. Yeah. As always, I love it.
Lots of smiling faces. Lots of good faces. People. Yeah.
And lots of new merch, lots of new hats and caps.
Yes. Yeah. It was amazing actually walking around and spotting bits of Nineworks hats and t-shirts and hoodies around. It's really fantastic to see that. Yeah.
I was grateful you mentioned Guy's 991 RS, the Voodoo car. I was really grateful and privileged and honoured, although I didn't go to the event myself. I saw it via the gram, the Nineworks decal on the car. That's always
on the little tail, yeah.
It's the most humbling experience when you see that somebody else has chosen to put that sticker, a sticker, you know, on their car. So, like, thanks to Guy and everybody else for repping. And like, you know, we're in wearing the gear as well. It's kind of a... because the WhatsApp group can be busy. It's a great way just to kind of in a subtle way kind of say to others when you attend these events, I'm open for conversation. And there's commonality there. That's exactly what that collective is all about, really. So that was really nice to see via the gram.
I saw that again yesterday, actually. I was at Porsche Centre High Wycombe yesterday having an oil service done on the Macan. And I saw Carrie Mason's Cayman GT4, which is now an approved used car for sale there. And that's a club sport spec car, so it's got the cage in it. And on either side, near side and off side, there's a Nineworks sticker. So that is resplendent in Porsche Centre High Wycombe at the moment.
Amazing, isn't it? Fantastic. Amazing. On the cage.
Yeah, on the cage. On the cage really in cool. The showroom.
Really
Nineworks
cool.
Nineworks car.
Nice one, Gary. No. Definitely. I owe you a drink for that. Andy, obviously you and I have been to Wales on the Nineworks road trip. I guess we'll talk about that in a bit. Yeah. I've got some Porsche news to run through, I guess, just in the name of some quick diligence while we've been away for a couple of weeks. So the new Cayenne GTS has launched, lads. That includes the GTS Coupe, top headline, 500 horsepower now.
Wow.
500 V8. It's a V8.
Still the V8. Yeah. Can I say still? Yeah. So it's kind of the S was the V8, which I had a chance to drive at the start of this year. Mm. Fantastic thing. I loved it. Particularly loved the sound. And I think, you know, sound is just becoming ever more crucial for me anyway. It sounded phenomenal. And I'm certain the GTS will kind of carry that on in still being V8. 500 horsepower improved. It's the gearbox's Tiptronic S 8-speed, but that's been sharpened and improved. It's got a transfer box from the Turbo GT, lowered suspension, a new digital wraparound screen are basically the headlines. But look forward to seeing that out and about.
Has it got any hybridization or anything? Was it full fuel?
Full petrol? Ice, yeah.
Wow.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
So that's good news.
That's pretty mad, isn't it? You wouldn't think you'd see a new car kind of coming out this year without any sort of electricity being involved. So, quite amazing.
Yeah, long may that continue, I would say. On that note, this kind of the news broke as we finished our last series, but we kind of had nothing really to add to the conversation that's kind of being had elsewhere on the internet, really. And that was the 718 ceasing production immediately. Essentially from Porsche, and that's top level due to cyber security. So to clear that up, I'd spoke to Porsche GB because there was kind of panic really that the news broke that it would be ceasing production worldwide. That's not kind of true really. It's just that this is an EU initiative, so this affects all territories that lie within the European Union and member states that conform to EU law. I've had that clarified directly with Porsche GB, which is, you'll see the full statement on YouTube videos on Nineworks TV released at the weekend. And so just to be clear, that does not affect the UK. So internal combustion engine 718s are still on sale in the UK for the foreseeable. Although, of course, the future of the 718 platform is well known to be going electric anyway. So a bit of a wake-up call, really. You know, the day's kind of coming, I guess, is the message. But yeah, in terms of like the immediate ceasing of production of combustion engine 718s, it is just the EU. So not the UK, not the States. So that's good news. And then a bit of an update, really. So there in the UK and elsewhere, there's sanctions placed on imports of Russian steel. And that has affected some parts availability of Porsches, and end of last year, start of this year has led to some cars being stuck on ramps, basically. New bolts need going in. It turns out the bolts are made with Russian steel, so there's no availability. And there has been problems. I know, like, some people in the specialist sector and Porsche centres as well have kind of struggled with that. And as I said, some projects have been elongated, cars stuck on ramps for far longer than anticipated. From what I've been told, the main issues with that are being overcome now, and new sources, new production lines have been found. So I'm told that's easing now, and we're kind of over the worst of it. If that isn't the case and you've got kind of personal experience of this, definitely get in contact, because it'd be nice to just kind of keep an eye on that situation, really.
Yeah. On that point about the production winding down but not ceasing and all that sort of thing for UK market cars, out on my travels, which I've been on for various reasons, been into the odd OPC and that sort of thing, sniffing about, I heard that Porsche are really keen to fulfill as many petrol Macan orders as they can before the e-Macan takes over. And if there isn't a car locked in for you already, you're more likely to be able to get a smaller engine one than, say, a GTS. So you're more likely to be able to get a T than a GTS, for example. And same true of the 718 platform. And the impression I got, and, you know, I hear different things talking to different people here, that it'd be quite difficult to get a 4-litre GTS 718 Cayman or Boxster now.
Okay.
And even if you think you've got one, wait and see.
Mm. Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. I kind of heard something like that as well about GTSs. Yeah. That they're kind of disappearing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think my impression was that Porsche are keen to fulfill as many orders for those cars, 718 and petrol Macan, by the end of next year, I think. But I think it's one of those things where they'll just stop, you know, suddenly there won't be any more, you know, there'll be no big announcement or something. You'll just go into your OPC, and buy one, and it'll be, no, sorry, son.
We've run out.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, that's great intel, Max, to be honest. So that's awesome to be able to pass that on to listeners. Great car as well. Do you know what I mean? So
I watched your video just earlier on today. I was loving it, I've got to say, of that 4-litre GTS that you had.
Really, really cool. I was really grateful to Porsche GB for the loan of that. So that we took that through Wales really as part of the tour, and did this video just kind of briefly exploring the 718 GTS 4-litre. I know it's been out for a good couple of years now, but that was my first experience of the car. And yeah, I have to say, the more time I spent with that car, the more I absolutely loved the thing. And I did a YouTube live walk around, which is, it's on the channel now if you want to watch it in retrospect, but just kind of talking really about kind of general 718 V992. And I know that's not really a fair comparison because they're different cars, different price points, but there was kind of a theme on the comments that we're getting. There's a lot of former 911 owners and ex-992 owners jumping into 718s that found appeal with the platform, certainly, which resonated with me, just talking about size of the car, the, you know, not that kind of overarching technological takeover, all the screens of the 992, that 718 platform internally kind of holds comparisons with the 991 cabin architecture, which seems to be a bit of a sweet spot. And I know we can kind of discuss that a bit more later on. Size and kind of setup really is kind of people are finding favor with. And I have to say, boys, wow, what an eye opener for me. And I've said previously on this podcast, you know, my barometer of how much I like a car is, you know, would you buy a set of tires for it? Because it's, you know, a boring but necessary purchase, isn't it? So, you know, would you buy a set of tires for a 718 GTS4? And I definitely would after that. 100%. If Porsche said to me, we're gonna have to ask you to buy the tires for that, yeah, no problem. That was a fantastic car. I loved it.
What would you change spec wise if you were, like, if you, you know, you got the opportunity to spec one tomorrow? And I guess you could do either Cayman or
Boxster.
What would your ideal, you know, from you, what would your ideal spec be from that take of that weekend?
Yeah. So, I mean, that was, it was PDK, it was Python green, it had the interior GTS interior pack. Is that really top level? I guess so, wasn't it? Or what I would say is, because the car was phenomenal, plenty quick enough, really nice engine, a good but not great engine. And I say that, I don't mean to do a disservice to it. It's just when you think of 4 litre, you immediately go,
it's got a bit of a halo
Porsche engineering. And that's kind of unfair, really, for the GTS, because it's not a GT3. It's, you know, but I kind of discussed this briefly in the video. I think it could be a little bit louder. You know, again, exhaust note.
I thought it sounded really nice.
Yeah, it does. But like, you know, again, from the driver's seat where it kind of matters, it sounded better with the roof up. And I don't know, it should surely sound better with the roof down, right? There's less in the way.
Maybe it's more about intake noise than...
Or sound exhaust, like an
yeah.
I think intake is the secret to making those things sound better.
Yeah.
I believe.
Yeah. Just wanted to unlock a little bit more, you know, raucousness. Yeah. If you think of a 981 GTS, I think it's one of the best sounding modern Porsches outside of a GT car. Yeah. Love it. Absolutely love it. And, you know, that no problem at all there. Whereas, yeah, that 718 GTS thing, yeah, it's a little bit too muted for me. And chatting with John, who took a beautiful Cayman 4 litre GTS on the tour around Wales in the GT4 RS colour. Beautiful thing. And he and I were having a chat on the first night over dinner, and he kind of agreed and said he'd, you know, if there wasn't a Porsche warranty in the way, there'd be an aftermarket exhaust straight on there. Okay. You know? So but I think, like, really for me, with how awesome that car is, I think the PDK gearbox suits the 4 litre engine really well. I think if you go PDK in a modern car, I think ceramics is a nice compliment. Because you can travel quickly, you can carry a lot of pace, and particularly on Wales, there's some small, tight, narrow roads. Sometimes when you need the brakes, you really need them, right? Mm-hmm. So ceramics, I think, if for me with that Python car, it was missing ceramics. If it was manual, I'd be happy with the big reds, right? Because then, conversely, I think ceramics can be overkill.
Yeah.
That's probably about it, really. I didn't even mind the black wheels. I'm not really a fan of black wheels. Yeah. Cool car.
Would you go
boys.
Python green?
I didn't mind it.
Didn't you?
Didn't mind it, to be honest with you. Yeah. And again, like we've spoken before, or a belief that I hold is that with 992s, because they're so massive, they suit darker colours. I think a Python 992 Carrera is just doesn't work. But again, Boxster, smaller size, black roof, breaks things up quite nicely. Black GTS accents as well. It's a really nice compliment. So I think it's the right size for a larry vibrant color.
I like them. Really like them. If I could afford to spend you know, what for me would be a lot of money on my selfish car, if you like, then a 4 litre GTS Boxster Cayman would fairly likely be it, to be honest.
I
that's on the basis of being a 981 Boxster S owner at the moment and loving it. I think I find that very appealing.
Yeah, you were in my thoughts a lot over that weekend, Max. We've got an episode coming up which is centered on open top Porsche, so we'll save the bulk of the chat for then. But just that kind of duality that the Boxster platform offers you, I was loving it. And again, fantastic car, chassis wise, unbelievable. And again, mark of how much I was enjoying it, because it was a bit of a slow burner at first. I was like, okay, throttle response isn't as sharp, but I kept comparing it to a 911, and that's so unfair. And I do really appreciate that. But by the end, genuinely reluctant to hand it back. And on the last day, so Andy, you and everyone else in the DNHC left Wales, or Lakeside Classics, where we finished.
Yeah.
I popped back into Wales to finish the video. And I stayed overnight in Snowdonia. I had a meeting the next day at Visac UK. Just past Chester. And got up 2 hours earlier than I needed to, just to have a very early morning blast through Snowdonia on my own, roof down. I'm just very happy to do it, boys. No hardship whatsoever, you know. Yeah. And fantastic car. So if you're owning one, listen to this and you're rocking it, like, honestly, congratulations. That is a phenomenal car, a phenomenal car. So,
I've been really keen to hear what you've made of that, having seen, you know, on my socials, all the action, feeling very envious, despite being at Goodwood members meeting, feeling envious about you boys having such a good time in Wales. I was really keen to see what you'd made of that car, because it's of such interest to me as a 981 owner.
I guess, you know, and again, on the DNHC WhatsApp chat, there was just conversation breaking out from that as to how much of a step on is it over a 981 GTS? Is it worth the extra money? A couple of collective members thinking, is that a jump that's down the line a bit? And it's quite difficult to compare, really, because I haven't driven a 981 GTS for a very, very, very long time. But I think a 981 GTS sounds better and looks better.
Yeah,
but you know, without driving it, I'm not sure. But I think what's really awesome is, and it's that old adage, isn't it? It's as old as the hills. But there's a Porsche out there for everybody. And yeah. You know, yeah, if you want to stick with a 981 GTS, that's still a phenomenal place to be. You know,
that's an interesting point actually. And I, through my affiliation with the Cotswold region, through Nick and Carrie's region of Porsche Club GB, which isn't my allotted region, but it's my adopted region, I've got into a sort of bespoke or a sort of sideline Boxster WhatsApp group aside from the normal Cotswold region one. And there's been some chat along that of that nature on there. Because I'd sort of wondered as an S owner, 981 S owner, I thought the step to GTS is perhaps not worth it. Maybe that's what I thought, but maybe to 718 GTS 4 litre, maybe that would be, and that's quite a big step. But, and on that group, there are people who own cars like mine, 981 GTSs and 4 litre GTSs. And as you say, there's a car for everyone, and you know, you can fluff up the sort of pillow on your own car. But my overriding impression from that chat is that the 981 GTS, be it a Boxster or a Cayman, really is maybe the one to have.
Yeah. For a circa 50K Porsche, is that kind of fair to say? Yeah. Well, you know, find me a more rewarding car, really. You know, like you said, as a selfish car as well, you know, sort of thing. It's
Yeah, you know, and my reason for not going in that direction when I bought my Boxster was because they're the same money as my 991 was. And part of that exercise was to release some cash. So, you know, that didn't work for me, but and I've done those little bits to my car that might perhaps move it a bit closer to it, but yeah, they do seem
fluff.
Great. But yeah, it was just interesting that was my impression overall from the chat that was going around in that group. Although I have to say, if I was getting a PDK car, I would want the 718 just because it works the right way around.
Yeah.
For me, you know, because I quite like the sort of DTM style WRC pushing and pulling on that lever, which you can't do on a 981.
Why can't there be a standard for it, for gear changing in all the different cars you get in, and like some you twist this way, that way, you do
then they'd all be the same, Andy, wouldn't they? You know,
just like indicators are already always on the left.
Yeah, no, that is true.
When you press left, it goes left. And when you go right, it goes right. Why can't the gear change always go forward?
I do wish that Porsche hadn't persevered with it for so long. Because when I think about, when I reflect on the period of time that I had that 991, which was a mega car, and we all talk about how much we like 991s, that bloody shifter working the wrong way around, the Tiptronic style, did. Because I don't really use the paddles very much. I've never really been a paddle guy in all the cars I've owned with paddles, but I do like the shifter. But the fact that it was the wrong way around,
I got
caught out, you know. I went from second to first a couple of times in the 991.
Mm, yeah.
So, of course, they made the change. It was 991 GT3, I think, where they got it the right way around for the first time. And then it went through to the series production from 991.2 on, I think, didn't it? I'd be really happy with a PDK 718 GTS 4 litre Cayman or Boxster. I think that'd be bloody brilliant.
Yeah, without a doubt. So that was one of the cars we'd driven in the off season, really. 718 GTS 4 litre. I said I'd buy some tyres for it. Andy, you drove a car, and let alone tyres, I've lost you for like the week since to the marketplace looking for other examples of the car that you drove. I know you drove a couple, but one in particular. So do you want to, you know, welcome to the confession box, and what have you got to say?
Well, yeah, I was very lucky. On the Wales trip, we had a couple of other impact bumper cars on the trip. Simon brought along his 2.7, 1976 2.7, and Ben brought along his 930, which was a 1979 930. And I fell for the 930. I really, Ben very kindly let me have a quite an extended drive, really. It was all pretty much all afternoon, and I absolutely loved it. Absolutely loved it. And funny, actually, I drove another 930 the week before. Friend Nigel's flat nose, had a quick drive in that, which was only literally 5 minutes down the road. But driving Ben's car around the Wells lanes. What a machine. What a machine.
Must have been one of those moments where you're pinching yourself and going, you know, is this real? Or have I died? And is this what heaven looks like?
Yeah.
You know, great roads, 930 turbo around you, G bodies, fore and after view as well.
Yeah, it was. It was, Mike was following the three of us at one point in his Carrera T, his 991 Carrera T. And what did he say? It was something like it had been transported back in time, I think he said, because he was watching the three of us, sort of, you know, going down these lanes with no other cars around. And he just had this, you know, picturesque window out through his windscreen of these three cars beating along down through the Welsh lanes. Fantastic. Yeah. Yep. It was amazing. And I've been on the classified since, trying to work out how the hell I can afford a 930, which I can't. But yeah. But yeah, there we go.
Would that involve
got a dream.
Having to sell the SC, though?
I'd have to, yeah, if I was going to do that.
Would you consider doing that? Is it that stronger?
No. Is it? Oh, I don't know. I don't know. It's a nightmare. Why do we do it to ourselves?
I'd have thought of you as an NA guy rather than a turbo guy.
I guess in my core I am, but I've always loved turbo cars. Even like going back to sort of, you know, turbo diesel Audis and things like that, I always enjoy that sort of punch.
Okay.
And we had that little smart roadster that was turbo, and always enjoyed that. Obviously going driving Paul's roof, which was just epic. So yeah, I've always had a little, you know, a love for turbos. The 930, I just found that intoxicating, that noise, that what we termed the oil monster noise. Just and then the tin can rattle as it's on the overrun. It's just a fantastic symphony of noises, and the turbo boost is intoxicating. And surprisingly, everybody, it's got the term the widowmaker and all that, isn't it? But if you know what you're doing and you respect that, it's not as intimidating as it's what the old wives' tale is, you know, it's gonna kill you. It's not if you know what you're doing.
Yeah.
I think. Well, unless I was lucky.
yeah. The thing is as well, right? Because I can see you in a turbo, Andy. First and foremost.
Yeah.
The other thing is as well, you know, I wouldn't say you're an NA diehard. I think you're a fan of engineering, and a 930 is totally different to what we consider or what we think of a turbo car to be from modern day standards, and a turbo really can be two cars in one. You know, off boost it can be a Carrera, and then it comes alive, it gets on boost, and then obviously it's a very different beast. And you put your foot down in a 3.2 Carrera at 2000 RPM in fifth gear, you might as well be in a 930 anyway, right? There really is that duality again with a 930, and like you said, the getting it right with the boost and the way it's delivered is just absolutely intoxicating.
It's an extra dimension of driving, is that you've got to work around that boost thing.
Yeah.
You know, whether you're keeping it on boost going around a corner or you're keeping it off boost going around a corner, you know, don't go into a corner and bring the boost on. That's when it's all going to go wrong. Yeah. And it was really interesting with the gearing as well, that long four-speed gearbox.
don't change up.
Yeah. I mean, you know, you're hearing all these noises going on and you're thinking, right, time to change up. And then you look down, it's 3000 RPM and it's like, no, don't change up. You've got nearly 4,000 RPM to go, and there's no need to change up. Use it. Absolutely loved it.
Following on from what Michael said, so there's going to be a magazine feature in Total 911 on the impact bumpers. We're celebrating 50 years of impact bumpers coming up. And part of it, Andy, you'll be scribing the weekend and your experience behind the wheel of those three different expressions of impact bumpers, 2.7, 911, SC and the 930. And Simon Jessop was getting some pictures for that. So we're doing car-to-car tracking. And if you don't know what that is the photographer is in one moving car shooting across to another moving car. In this case, there were three moving cars shooting from this 718 press car that I was driving. So Simon was shooting forwards at this stage. So you three impact bumpers were leading and the 718 was behind. And we're snaking through the Lamberis Pass. And it's a very dramatic scenery, isn't it?
It's extreme, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely extreme. You know, high rock faces either side. And then almost like if you're looking at above, it's almost, you know, this crack between the middle is where this slither of tarmac runs through. Usually pissing it down there as well, by the way, it has to be said, but it was cloudy, but there was like a break in the clouds and this sun just like shining on these three impact bumpers and the road ahead. And then I had my window, or the roof was down as well, actually, of course. And so you could hear the sound of these impact bumpers and the gurgling of the turbo and all the rest of it, but then also the smell as well of these cars. Oh, just honestly, boys, that was borderline a religious experience, I think, you know, for a Porsche diehard.
And
you just think, you know, when these cars were made and when people first collected these cars, you know, first owner, did they ever think that 50 years on, you know, basically these nutters would be driving them around Wales, probably harder than they ever drove the car, most likely. And they'd still be absolutely on song and looking just as good then, if not better. Yeah.
And still relevant, relevant.
Yeah, you know, totally and I relevant. Just thought this is incredible. If you think of, you know, what the planet was like in 1974, a completely different world versus now. And those cars are kind of, pulling us back into those times in a way. I just thought was fantastic. And again, the beauty of a 930 turbo is, and, you know, yes, you could argue the narrow body naturally aspirated cars, but I think particularly so with the 930. Looks like a classic, but still commands your eyeballs, commands all of your attention. It's a real head turner and got so much presence to it and a real muscularity despite a comparatively diminutive size.
Yeah. I love chasing it around and seeing it in the rearview mirror. It was just epic to see that. It's got some Group 4 wheels on it, so it looks pretty beefy.
Yeah, that's a great wheel, isn't it?
Yeah, really good.
I mean, the stock wheel's great as well, but the Group 4 wheel is wicked.
Yeah, perfect for it.
Wow. Because you've said for years, Lee, that you really hanker after a 930. Yeah. As long as we've been hanging out, you've said that.
100%.
Yeah.
That's why I want Andy to get one. I can live vicariously. He's only around the corner. You know, I'll be at your door every day. Morning. Should we go out?
Brother Carl.
Yeah. I'd love to live vicariously through Andy for that. But just awesome, awesome cars. And the other thing as well is, you know, Andy, if you get one, everybody wins because you drive the cars. And I can understand why people wouldn't want to drive a 930 as often.
Oh, yeah.
They're definitely more to maintain for a start. There's a cost entry point as well to consider, of course, and the fact they're classic, unique driving experience. But you would drive it, and I think it's everybody wins then because everybody gets to see these cars out on the road, you know.
Yeah.
And I can see you pulling up to a Cars and Coffee in November in a 930 Turbo, you know, because you're that kind of nutter and, you know, fantastic, basically. Fantastic.
Yeah. And props to Ben for bringing it along. Would I be right in saying that Ben had sort of 24 hours notice, really, didn't he? It wasn't much less than that.
Yes. Yeah. 24 hours. Nigel, unfortunately, dropped out.
Yeah, with a bit of illness. Ben and drove 6 hours to get to the start line.
So
a momentous effort to pull that off.
Definitely.
And bring the turbo.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
On Sunday after Scramble, I had lunch with Pete Estwick and Jane and Karen and Nick. And Nick was telling me about a similarly religious experience that he had. He was in his 987 Spider, of course, and Ben was in his 930, and they ended up doing some miles together, swapping over who was in front. And Nick's been spending the time since he got home looking at 930s as well.
Is he?
Yeah, he's in the same boat as you, Andy. In fact, and I don't know how much it is, if your research has taken you this far, you might know, Andy, but on Sunday, Sports Purpose had that green one that they've got with that.
What's that
interior called?
Furman.
Furman interior, like Furman, Paul has in the Martini car.
Yeah.
That looks wicked.
It did actually. It looked better than I thought when I saw it in the pictures. I wasn't that keen on the interior, but when I saw it in real life, it's a lovely car.
Yeah.
That's the Furman seats.
Yes.
Yes. Awesome. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, it's the big old puff pillow seats.
That's it. Yeah. So just for context, in case anybody's not sure what are Furman seats. Ernst Furman was the CEO of Porsche in the 70s. He was the first CEO post the Porsche family just exclusively running the company. And Ernst Furman had a bad back, so he was particularly keen to see a seat in the 911 that was specifically revised with better support, basically, better ergonomic features. And they were a monstrously expensive option at the time, so it's very rare you'll see them. But if you're looking at a 70s, 80s seat, it's basically got, two of these big pads on the base and then two up the back as well is the best way to describe
massive
it.
Massive pillows, I think you call
it. Yeah. Very, very, very weird. Bizarrely, not amazingly comfortable, but if they do a job, then fair play. But that's kind of part of Ernst Furman's legacy to the company, really.
Yeah. Yeah, wicked. Talking of those guys, talking of Pete and Nick, Pete was in a new cars, Driven Not Hidden Collective Member cars. Pete's got a new, Pete Estwick has got, he's bought an Arctic grey 992 Touring.
Lovely.
Which looks mega. It's got the Cohiba brown interior that Andy Bowers has in his, sofas as well. And it's got a really lovely, it's got a sort of retro vibe because that Arctic grey is that sort of like, sort of military, sort of naval, sort of flat grey with the Cohiba brown and platinum wheels. Clear glass on the side because Pete got them to change it. So it doesn't have those silly black rear quarter lights.
Yeah.
It's bloody fantastic.
Very nice.
Absolutely lovely.
He's got an eye for how to spec a car, isn't he?
His
green GT3 was a good looking thing.
He had that Underbird car. So that's lovely. And I also saw old Smithy, Nick Smith.
Yeah.
He was there in that Guards Red 981 Spider.
Nice choice, that is.
So I chatted to him whilst we were at Scramble, and then when I was going back to the car, he was on his way out, so I saw him in it. Top down, Guards Red, silver wheels, 981 Spider, just fantastic.
Living the dream.
And he looked bloody chuffed to bits, I've got to say, in there.
Good.
His little cap, very happy man.
Very, very much deserved. What I do just want to say before we dive into like the main topic of the podcast, and thanks for staying with us if you are indeed still in the room at this point. So chatting to Darren at RPM Technic, I had to pop in there probably about a month or so ago. I was picking up I wanted to keep the lightweight flywheel on my car. I was having a clutch change, and I needed a spring-centered disc. Which try and find one, basically, it's impossible. RPM Technic have got a couple in stock as an FYI. So I picked up this Helix spring plate and, chatting away to Darren. And these days, RPM Technic don't bus over the 996s, 997s so much. It's just more kind of modern GT products, getting them prepped for track and obviously the affiliation with Manti. So a lot of kind of CSR stuff has sort of just been kind of quietly discontinued, really, including like ducktails and the lightweight flywheel, etc. Darren, who I know listens to this podcast, loves 996s just as much as I do. There's a fluff.
I think more.
So he said basically, look, you know, they can still do it. It's kind of a group buy scenario would kind of, spin up the production machine again. So if you would like, and some people still message me on Instagram saying, where did you get your ducktail from? So for example, as that or the flywheel, if you are interested in purchasing one of that, drop me a DM on Instagram or send me an email, hello@nineworks.co.uk. If there's enough people interested, I'm very happy to facilitate kind of a group buy scenario. Everybody wins then. So just if you own a 996 or 7 or 86 or 87 and you're interested in any of that CSR stuff, just let us know. And Darren said they'll see if they can make that happen.
Wicked.
Very nice. Very nice. Shall we? We've got a little segment that we recorded while we were in Wales. Just all the guys that were there. A little bit of a who was there and kind of what cars do they fancy next?
Cheers.
Cheers, mate. Slauncher.
Slauncher.
Happy
so
days.
We are in Wales.
Yes, we are.
The end of
2024 Welsh road trip.
Wales 24. Being very much driven, not hidden, I guess.
Yeah, my car's dirty. How about yours?
Hey?
Dirty.
Very dirty. So we've done 3 days touring from south to north. In difference to last year, there were no near-on collisions between you and I.
We did all right there, yeah.
Yep, so we're scrapping for content already.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
no disasters, no breakdowns.
No, none yet. So we had, there's 16 from the Driven Not Hidden Collective here.
Yeah.
So I think that is 12 or 13 cars. Yeah. 13, yeah? Yeah. James is nodding next to us.
I think it might be 14 cars, actually. Yeah. That's right, yeah.
Maybe to put everybody on the spot, I'll run round with the mobile mic.
We could have a
quick intro to say who you are and what car you've bought, maybe? Yeah. Is that all right? Yeah?
Pass it down.
Okay, yeah, good idea.
John's first. No, John, you've got to talk into it.
It's the fast pass.
Hold it nice and tight and talk. You'll be fine.
All right. Well, I love this weekend. I brought my GTS, my 718, and it's my first real chance to get on with that car, and I love it. And being able to stretch its legs on these wonderful roads in this part of the country that I've not driven on before was really, really good.
Excellent.
I just absolutely loved it.
So this has been your bonding weekend with the car then, really, isn't
absolutely,
it?
Yeah. I mean, you absolutely have to make a connection with your car. And if you don't make that connection, don't keep the car.
Yeah,
life, as they say, life is too short to drive boring cars. If you don't get the car, get rid of the car, get something else.
Yeah,
but I get this car now, and I'm definitely keeping this car.
Good work. Hey. Excellent. Right, pass it on, John. Who we got? Steve. Oh, good. Dom, go on, give it to Dom. He didn't want to be on.
Fuming.
I ran away to avoid this.
Yeah.
We've got remote mics.
That's it, I know. I should have thought it through.
Jump here.
So what are you driven?
So
who are you?
I'm Dom. I'm driving a 981 Boxster S. Second Nineworks road trip and loving it. So
excellent. Thank you very much for coming.
You're welcome, Mr. Brooks. I'm going to pass this to Steve. All
right. Say as much or as little as you want.
Hot potato.
Hello. Yeah, so I'm Steve. I've come in John's 718. Those seats are ruined. Those seats are ruined.
I'm the fellas.
Don't sit in the passenger seat. That's a horrible mess. And I had a dump in 981S, so soiled a pair of them. Who am I in tomorrow?
You're freaking walking. Brilliant.
Drop the kids off in yours. Yeah. I'm hand this off before it gets too bad.
I'm going to hold it, though. Hi, chaps. Mark from Kent. I've come in... Not Steve's car. 997 Gen 2 C2S manual with an aero kit on. This is the second one I've done. And I've got to say, absolutely loving it. I think I've explored the car this weekend to 85-90% of what it can do. I've been really, really chuffed. So,
you had some, not issues, but you were uncertainties with the car last year, didn't you?
Yeah, I did.
You kind of sorted that stuff out.
Yeah, a little of a squirmy rear end was one of the...
Yeah.
Thanks, Dick. Yeah, rear end was a little bit squirmy on full throttle, which was a damper, so it's got O-lins around the track.
Yeah.
Those were rebuilt. GT3 shift linkage, put that in as well, and a couple other little tweaks.
Yeah.
And Michelin Pilot Sport 4Ss, which has kept me going straight this year, as opposed to that little moment I had last year. So, yeah, all in all, it's all really good upgrades, and have worked fantastically on this terrain.
Yeah, you've been going hard this weekend. It's looked good.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Much appreciated.
It's a really very good looking car, guys. Very good looking car.
Nice.
Happy days.
Next up, Ben.
Hello. Yeah, I'm Ben from Newcastle. My first Nineworks road trip, and I brought my 930 Turbo.
What a legend.
Well, what the car is, not me.
Well, you are a legend because it was a bit of a last minute thing, wasn't it?
It was, yeah.
It was. Unfortunately, Nigel, who was due to come, dropped sick a few days ago. So there was a space going
there was a space.
Spare.
Yeah.
So
hope Nigel's feeling better soon, but glad to be here.
Excellent. We've got a bit of a prize for...
Yeah, so Ben, I'm sure most people know it's like Porsche Files here, but the Monte Carlo Rally, historically, before you even started the rally, you had to get to it. So the manufacturers would pack the car, and with Porsche in the 911, it was the late Herbert Linger and Peter Fout packed up a 2-litre 911 and drove to the start of the Monte Carlo Rally and went on to get the 911's first like podium finish. That I think, well, actually, no, I think they came fifth in class, but it was their first, fifth overall, but first in class.
And you can tell he's had a few beers.
It's the five Guinness. Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's all in the history books. It's fine. Yeah. But Ben, you're kind of similar to that, really, because like more than anybody here, you were like very short notice, which we really appreciate you coming along. But like just to even be on like the start grid for the road trip, you traveled like 6 hours in a 930 turbo, which is mental, you know. So you are absolutely like a driver of the weekend. So we've got a £50 Heritage Parts voucher to give to you. So you can replenish some of the love towards that turbo.
That's very kind, chaps. Yeah. Very, thank you. Very good.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
What a legend. What a legend.
Can I say, don't hold the bottom, just hold the... That's it. Sorry, it's breaking up. Sorry. It's breaking up. It's all good. It's all good.
Right.
Happy Thank days. You, Ben.
Simon Jessup. I'm in a 964. Today was the best day of my life. Yesterday was the best day of my life. Had a slight incident with the military.
Take us through that story.
I'm not sure we should.
It's
classified.
I think it is classified.
I've actually been waiting today for you to like have the blues and twos chasing you. You know, they found him. Yeah. But yeah, it's not happened.
I think if you see me in person, I'll explain what happened. Yeah, maybe that should stay off grid.
Yeah, agreed. So you enjoyed the weekend?
Yeah, incredible. First 9 months road trip, won't be the last.
In a 964, don't think you've said that yet.
Yeah,
in a 964, yeah, D2. I'll be in a 964 on the next one, but it may not be one I own now. Yeah.
Marvellous. Thank you very much.
Quality, mate. Happy days.
Maz.
Hello.
Hello.
Yep, so I'm Maz, Messex, and this is my first Nine Works road trip in my Turbo S991.
Pretty dirty.
Well, driven not hidden, right?
Yeah. Great retort. Great retort.
So, yeah, you know, it's fantastic. Really enjoyed it. I've been to Wales several times, but yeah, this is probably been one of the best ones, if not the best one, you know, with good people, you know, lots of different variety of cars and yeah, lots of memories. So fantastic.
Any range anxiety at all at any point?
No. See, my car is famously good on fuel, you see, so I was never in doubt that I was gonna get there, but
quality.
So no. No,
cheers, buddy. Thank you,
Ed.
Hi, guys. I'm Ted from Oxfordshire.
Ted,
all right.
In
joke. I've been driving a Shark Blue GT3. It's my second Nine Works Wales tour. It's fantastic. It's running the car in last year and returning this year to try and give it some beans. So. Had a fantastic time. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Wonderful. It sounded good screaming down the road.
Yeah. Nice to open it up and give it some beans for sure.
Yeah. Top job.
It's worth pointing out to the listeners that Ed/Ted, his car is a Riviera Blue paint sample, but it's often misinterpreted by yours truly to be Shark Blue, who put it all over Instagram, which doesn't help proceedings at all, really, does it?
It's still good. It's a
lovely car, and I have to say, like, pulling over and getting some drive-by footage of everyone, that car sounds absolutely amazing.
Thank you.
Absolutely amazing. So yeah, the Shark Blue ones do sound best, don't they?
Yeah, no, it's always Shark Blue. Yeah. Cheers, guys. Thank you.
No worries. Nick.
So Nick from Surrey. Driving a 987 Spider.
Roof off all weekend?
Roof off the vast majority of the weekend. I deny any precipitation, as you know. Second Nine Works road trip after Germany and France last October in the GTS. Having a fantastic time. Sixth tour of Wales, I worked out. I said five the other day, but I sort of got a cheeky one in with Karen and Terry Mears for a track down Anglesey, so... This is the sixth tour. Love the Welsh countryside, Welsh people, Welsh roads. Perhaps not the 20-mile-an-hour limits, but I understand why they're in place.
They're not onerous, though, are they?
They're not onerous, and actually, when you get down to 20, you know, 20 means 20, the same as 30 meant 30. So driving responsibly through the villages.
Yeah.
And fuel saving like Guy Feltham in the mountains, obviously, because there's a scarcity of 99 rum. Having a great time.
Good. Glad you enjoyed it.
Cheers, buddy. Da, 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 da. Oh, hello. Hello.
I am Michael. I'm from Yorkshire, and I've been in a 991.2 Carrera T. Second trip for me. Same Wales last year. So pretty much as good a crowd, to be fair, and a good mix of cars again. So, yeah, really enjoyed it. Good. Couple of really good runs today between behind Simon and Andy, following the older cars, which is really, really good.
Definitely.
But, yeah, really good mix of people and cars. So, yeah, been great.
Tops, cool. Absolutely tops.
May I say your car sounds fantastic. That T has really got a good sound to it.
It is stock as far as I'm aware. I've not done anything, so yeah.
It's got just the right amount of pops and crackles and
whistles
and sounds lovely. Yeah, without being antisocial, it's just a really nice sounding car.
Yeah.
Cool. Tops.
Thank you.
Lovely.
I'm Simon.
That's better.
It's my second Wales trip. I've come in, I've made the mistake. I'm driving a 1976 2.7 impact bumper, which is, I drove a Turbo S last year, 991.1, and it's just a completely different trip. But it's been amazing. So
you've really bonded with that car, haven't you?
Yeah, and it's the first time I've really driven it.
Yeah.
And I didn't think I would have the confidence, but it's been amazing. They're such capable cars, and I've had just as much fun this year. It's like, in fact, probably more this year.
It's amazing. I think that you can can bring pretty much any Porsche along to this type of thing and hang with everybody, and not. I guess probably Ben, if he turned up with his 356, would probably be a little bit lagging.
That might be a push.
Yeah, but pretty much any other Porsche, you're having a great time.
Well, it's worth touching on that. So last year, Simon, I think your Turbo S on paper obviously had like the most horsepower of all the cars on the tour. You know, this year you're at the other end of the scale, and that 2.7, you've had to pedal that, you know, really hard at times. And you've just said that this year's been the most enjoyable. I think that's quite an interesting.
Yeah, it's learning an older car as well, and it's having to keep the revs up there. And at first, I was keeping them low, but then you just need to let it scream and let it loose, and it really does. It just performs when you get it in the right rev range and learning the gears. Whereas the Turbo S being automatic was just looks after you, and that's a capable car as well, though. But it's just different, just completely different.
Great to hear. Thank you for bringing it along.
Yeah,
and thank you for the drive of it as well.
Had
a quick drive in both Simon's car and Ben's 9:30 today, and had a wonderful time. And how different, you know, three cars that have spanned 3 or 4 years and different models can be so different to each other. Quite amazing.
Fantastic. Thanks a lot.
Enough of fluffing of the G-body.
There we go. That'll do. There's your quota.
Done. Now. Is that the button?
So James, here from Ireland in my 997.1 C4S. Values are only going up. First Nine Works road trip, absolutely loved it. Great roads, great company, great time. I think my favourite memory of the trip is, and I'm just going to extend Ben's legend. We're driving through the back roads, and Ben comes on the walkie-talkie to say, "Guys, we're in 1970s 911s. Can you guys keep up?" I'm not going to try and do his accent, but I think he said, "Way!" I spent like the next 3 or 4 minutes trying to think of a comeback, and I really couldn't. There was about 3 or 4 of us behind us in like water-cooled Carrera T's, my 997, and Ben, absolute legend in the 930, absolutely ripping it up. So, absolutely fantastic time. Thanks, guys.
Lovely.
That is wicked. That is absolutely wicked. Honourable mention to Alexi and Demid. So I think they've had a bit of business to attend to.
Yeah.
So they've had an early night, I guess. But coming along in a 991.2 GT3. What blue's that?
That's Miami.
Oh, Miami. Yeah, there we go. I'm not au fait with blue colours on GT3s. Yeah.
Sharp blue.
Yeah, so honourable mention to those guys. Alexi being a works driver as well. So, like, yeah, really, really appreciate that. So, great mix of cars. No 993s, no 996s. Otherwise, it's been a pretty good spread.
Yeah, no 996s.
I think that's the reason, yeah. Like, no cars have broken down this weekend. And it's all kind of worked.
Oh, that's a little bit harsh.
Really, I guess. Yeah. So, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Top weekend. Thank you for everybody for coming along and, yeah, enjoying it and being such good sports. And, yeah, just been a good crowd. Really appreciate that.
Absolutely. Only thing I think is worth the listener bearing in mind is chatting to everybody individually over the weekend. The general kind of consensus or sentiment is when we're talking about, you know, next cars and looking at like different toys we're going to get, the general consensus is people seem to be looking backwards rather than forwards. Bit of a common thread running through.
Yeah.
Quite interesting, really. Like seeing you and I, Andy, had a conversation a couple of days ago about where a car's going, where a sports car's going. And if this was kind of, you know, this group of people on the Nineworks tour was a bit of a litmus test for the enthusiast, it seems it's going backwards, not forwards, really.
Yeah. Should we get an answer from each person around the table of what their next car is going to be after this weekend? What do you reckon?
Yeah, or stick or, yeah, that yeah. was a stick or twist. And if what? You're twisting,
yeah,
I
yeah.
guess, yeah, yeah, all yeah. Right. Yeah. As a very quick, like...
Oh, yeah, 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 just a quick yeah. straw poll.
All right, yeah, then we'll wrap it up.
Yeah. So I'm going 9:30, because I've...
Definitely, yeah.
Well, yeah, yeah. It's going to happen commit at some on point.
Is it really? Yeah.
At some point. Quality. Maybe not. You know, I've got a couple yeah. of years yet in Thermidor, but yeah, it's on the radar after driving Ben's car. I really enjoyed that. What's the next car?
Oh, Mark IV Super Turbo.
Oh!
He's from good stock, John. He's from good stock.
Yeah. I'd like to go from the 911.2 GT3 to a 997 3RS of some lineage. Not the 4-litre, because that's way out of my bounds, but...
Quality.
Lovely. Dom?
Yeah, I think sticking for now, but when I do twist, I'd like to keep the 981 Boxster and get myself into a 997... probably just the Carrera S, just you know, something cool.
Good car, very good car.
I think for me after this weekend, it's going to be Impact Bumper. I think probably naturally aspirated was definitely what I was thinking coming into this weekend. But after following Ben, hearing that induction sound, then the pops, the bangs, and the drama and the smell of it as well. It just made me chuckle for days. So, yeah, it's going to be something. Impact Bumper.
Ooh, yeah, interesting.
Well, my 930 is quite new to me, so I'm just going to stick if that's okay. I don't think the wife would allow another Porsche into the household.
To be honest, Ben, the amount of fluffing that's going on here, your money's well safe, mate. You know.
Obviously, you know my new car is going to be a GT3 RS.
Of course.
But in reality, it'll be another 964.
You are there, aren't you? You love them.
I just want all the Porsches.
All the Porsches.
All of them. No, I think for the sake of change, I'll move into a 991.2 GT3 or a .1 GT3 RS. The next car.
Good call.
Slightly ashamed, a black cab 997.2 turbo, not S, it's turbo.
Don't need to be
really?
Ashamed.
Really? Yeah,
of
where's that? Like, what's the reason? Just that's super interesting.
I think bowling around Europe in one of those would be the absolute dream.
Yeah.
I think that'd be quite nice.
Good call. Quite different. Yeah, I like that. Wicked.
Am I allowed two answers?
Yeah, of course you can. Yeah. Right.
If Karen's listening,
yeah,
I'm sticking. Yeah. If she's not, Unhealthy Fascination, Peridot Green, Caymanar. It won't go away. Completing the trilogy of Spiders, so probably a 981 Spider. And a shout-out to Andy Bowers for letting me be a passenger in his 992 GT3 Touring, because even though I don't like 992s, I kind of want one of those as well.
Was that about four answers?
So that's four options.
No. You got confused. It was, if is Karen listening, I'm sticking. If she's not, then I'm twisting.
Times three.
Call it A.
I think if you'd asked me a year ago, I would have definitely said 991.2 GT3.
Okay, yeah.
But for the step up in price from what the Carrera T is at the minute, I'd probably difficult to justify actually spending another 60 grand. I don't think I'd get 60 grand's more enjoyment out of it, to be honest.
Yeah.
And with all the mix of cars, I think the thing you take away is the fact that you don't actually need a faster car. You're probably better off spending the money on doing some driving courses yourself or just spending more time with your own car. It's kind of, I don't know. I mean, I'm not a track day guy, so that's probably why I'm starting to lean away from it. It would probably be a bit more wasted on me, but as you were saying, Lee, I've no desire for 992 at all. They just don't do it for me. No, not even the Shark Blue. Maybe Riviera, but not Shark Blue.
Yeah. We spoke on the first night, Michael. Your 991 manual T is a fantastic spec, yours, like a proper T spec. And, I do wonder if you move from there, and I know there's comings and goings of curiosity, I guess. I wonder if in the future you might regret that, because that is such a fantastic 911.
Yeah.
Well, this is about my seventh Porsche, and it's kind of like you're just chasing the... I don't know if you're chasing the dream's probably the wrong expression, but you can end up chasing something and you get there and then you realise actually you were better off with what you'd got, or you're not actually getting that much more out of.
Yeah.
It's more about what you do with the car than what the car is in itself, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
If you find a place where you're happy, then I'd always say stick with that for a while and see what, you know, if something's meant to change, something will come along. That car kind of fell into my lap a little bit. I wasn't specifically looking for one. And it just popped up, and it was a nice spec, and it was local, and I went and sort of fell in love with it. And gone from there. But like I say, it's just that's how it's worked out. So.
That's pretty good consumer advice, I would say, to be honest, like for people listening as
I
well.
I think the market's changed a little bit the last year or so, hasn't it, with the finance rates and all the rest of it. I mean, you know, I'm not embarrassed to say I finance cars, and it's just become so much more expensive to start looking at options and things. So.
Mm.
And the new stuff's just getting really expensive, isn't it? It's difficult, so but yeah,
that's cracking. Okay, yeah, cool. I love that. I admire the honesty.
Well, I think I've cracked it. I think I've got a 911.1 Turbo S, which obviously does what it does, and then the 2.7 911. So it's sort of bookended the 911 lineage to a point, and it covers quite a lot of bases, but there is one car that I let go that I think I'd add, and that's got to be the 996 GT3, because I had one and I don't miss any of the cars that I've sold other than that. So that, I think, but I wouldn't swap either of the cars for it.
Yeah.
Addition. I think it would slot in nicely.
Would that be a dot one or a dot two?
Dot two.
Dot two.
I think they're just amazing cars. They're just the balance on them. Only got ABS. They're great cars.
Yeah.
And for the money, I don't think they're going to be that price for much longer.
Yeah.
I really don't. I think they're that good a car.
Yeah.
So I would add.
Stop fluffing. If you want
to get buy,
one.
Then fluff.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
That's sage advice, to be fair. Sage advice. Yeah. We said earlier on, your two-car garage, it's a pretty astute pairing, because there's you know, I think we all know here that when you have like more than one, there's often like a little bit, sometimes quite a lot of overlap between the two cars, but yours are complete polar opposites of the 911 expression, really, in Turbo S and 76 2.7.
Yeah, if you hanker in for something that's capable and modern, jump in that, and then when you get the urge for something air-cooled and a bit risky, or, you know, are you going to break down, but they are reliable, but you do still have that.
How's your electric windows in your
sunroof?
Your
electric windows are working now.
Well done.
That's added to the experience, I think. That's what I quite like. As long as it doesn't completely break down, I'm happy. You know? But if I have to tinker with something and get it going again, it's part of it. But
so that's just two or three things that we've had go wrong this weekend, isn't it? Your windows, your sunroof, and Ben had an indicator light go out. And that has been it from...
Yeah.
14 Porsches. Pretty amazing, really.
Pretty good.
Yeah. Saying it's the old air-cooled shit that's done it. You know?
James, what are you saying? Yeah.
I'd stick for the time being. Obviously, the value of 997 Carrera 4S, as we've talked about, is only going up.
Rocketing.
Particularly those with Hardtech engine rebuild. I think when the time comes to add, I don't think I'd see myself getting rid of that. It's the Ford Racing Puma.
It's coming.
It's coming. Yeah. Might be a while yet, but it's coming. So, John, you're not alone in potentially adding outside of the stable. But sticking.
Wicked. Nice. Wicked.
Cool.
Decent roundups. Yeah, I think that kind of does underline the sentiment. Thank you to everybody for coming along on the tour. Thanks for putting up with our little round table here. We'll put the mics down now and finish the tour. So thanks to everybody for coming along. Thanks to people for listening. And see everybody on our tour again soon.
Raise
cheers
the glass.
All, yeah.
Cheers.
Thanks very much. To the road. To the road.
Ching, ching.
Yeah. Thanks. Cheers, gents.
Thank you.
First of all, thanks to all the guys for joining us for what was a brilliant 4 days in Wales in the end. All manner
absolutely
of
epic.
Absolutely awesome, wasn't it? All manner of different cars in there. Just like really lovely to hang out with different people from the DNHC.
Yeah.
One of my favourite trips, really, to be honest.
And no dramas. That I think that's the big thing, isn't it? You know, it was a weekend with no silliness. Everybody respected each other. Everybody respected Wales.
Yeah.
It was good, wholesome fun.
Definitely.
No absolutely silliness going on. And that's really where we are at.
Well, that's what we're all about, Andy. Good vibes only, mate. Good absolutely vibes only. Yeah.
There were some people, again, on Sunday at Scramble, I was chatting to Simon and some other folk, and they sort of echoed that, you know, some folk know that that's not really my jam because those, you know, sometimes those events and occasions, they get a bit high octane, don't they? People can get carried away and there is silliness and not respect of each other and the countryside that people are in. And Simon and everyone were very keen to point out that in the spirit of the culture that is and makes and characterizes Nineworks, it wasn't like that. It was exactly as you say. And that did make me think, actually, can I come next year to Wales? Can I put
you'd
my
love it,
ring?
Max. You really would enjoy it.
Okay.
You can, mate. You're always welcome. Always welcome. As is everybody from the Driven Not Hidden Collective. We've got some other road trips coming up, which will be announced on the WhatsApp group really in good time. Abroad, obviously, we're going to Norway, aren't we, in June. We're putting together a Luft road trip as well. We're going to have information on that, hopefully by the time this podcast comes out, actually, which will be awesome. And then another UK drive later in the year. And what I would say as well, actually, is off the back of last series when we did the In Our Lifetime podcast episode.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, that was great fun, wasn't it? That was absolutely awesome fun. And I've had a few messages, emails and DMs from collective members saying, yep, if you boys are going to Sicily, 100% I'm in for that.
They're in.
100%. Yeah, so we've definitely got a little Targa Florio gang going on for 2025, which is going to be awesome. I also want to give a shout out to James Allen Keller as well from the United States. Thank you so much, James, for your lovely DM. He said, hi, Lee, I'm a US listener of your podcast. I love listening to it each week. I heard your In Your Lifetime desire to visit the US. You might be interested in this German couple who did just that. They might make great guests sometime and would probably be happy to share their insider tips. That was in response to saying, I'd love to take my car over there and drive across the state. Yeah. So again, just love that. People helping each other out. You know, you can do it rather than giving us a list of why you can't.
Yeah.
So that was really nice. But that was a slight tangent, but we have got some road trips coming up, basically. But
I've Picking up on the Sicily thing, I can't forget because it would be terribly rude and remiss of me. But the reason I was at Porsche and High Wycombe on Saturday and why Carrie's GT4 is there is because Carrie's picking up her new GT4 RS, which is amazing. Congratulations to Carrie. I mean, what a bloody car.
Supercar.
It's in racing yellow, which we all know she loves. Mega, Vysac pack, all that kind of jazz. It's wicked. But on the back of that In Our Lifetime thing and talking about Sicily and the Targa Florio and that outrageously expensive book that I'm hoping to borrow off Neil Clifford, Carrie had bought me, not that book, but she bought me this little Targa Florio book.
And really?
She gave it to me while
that's quality.
So we were there for Carrie's collection of her amazing car, but she'd been thoughtful and kind enough to buy me this Targa Florio book, which she gave me, which is very kind. So thank you to Carrie for that. And congratulations again on being a blooming GT4 RS owner, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, congratulations.
Yeah, sentiments echoed there indeed. So we're all following you then, Max, basically, when we get to Sicily.
Yeah, he knows the route.
Yeah,
I'll be in the front.
Everyone up.
Yeah. No, you're all good, mate. You're all good. Excellent. All right, then. So just diving back to the back end of that Wales chat. So that kind of commonality that we found there in asking the collective, you know, what's your next car? We love asking first, worst, best, and next car on this podcast. So we said to the guys there, what's your next car likely to be? And the theme really, just by accident, was that a lot of people looking backwards, you know, for their future Porsche purchase, really, which kind of does beg the question that we'd like to discuss now. Have we reached the automotive peak, the peak era for the automotive enthusiast, or do we believe it's still in the distance ahead of us, or do we believe it's in the far distance behind us? Where do you sit, boys?
I sit 1978.
That's unbelievable, Andy. That's almost a yellow card, that is. Jesus Christ.
No. I definitely sit before 2000. Absolutely for me.
Great. Why is that? Talk us through it.
It's just why? I don't need anything more that came afterwards. I don't really need the technology. Don't feel I need the pace. I'm very happy with what those, you know, before 2000s gave me for an enthusiast's car. The car that I want to take out of the weekends.
Yeah. Okay. So you believe the golden era of the automotive enthusiast is way back and actually has been for some time.
Yes. Yeah. It's my thought. Yep.
Okay. Interesting. Max?
Notwithstanding the fact that I'm a member of the Vintage Sports Car Club and have been for a long time, I generally am a present day car guy. And I was thinking about this recently as I was motoring around doing my thing. I was thinking that I don't differentiate my car use on days of the week. So I don't drive differently or different car or a different way on a Saturday, Sunday from what I do Monday to Friday, generally. So, I say things like I can, you know, if you stick me in any public car park, multi-story, I'll find something that I'm interested in. So I think I'm a present day guy. I think I'm always going to be really interested in what is the current. I've publicly said I'm not that interested in EVs, and that is true. I'm not. But I think we're going to come out the other side, and Porsche are going to be making some great cars that I'm going to be all over.
Okay. So there's positivity and optimism for the future.
But the future of internal combustion engine, but I'm sort of, you know, a bit like the start of Top Gun, where it sets the time as present day. It doesn't say 1984 or whenever it came out. It says present day. So I'm always in the present day, which at the moment is 2024, and I'm excited about things that are in 2024. I think in 2030, I'll be excited about things in 2030. But I'll still be a member of the Vintage Sports Car Club. And a 1924 Type 35 Bugatti will still be one of my favourite cars.
You might be having to run the club by then, pal. Do you know what I mean? It's a bloody good job. Maybe. Yeah, yeah. That's really good, though. So, yeah, it's a fluidity to that then, to your interest. You're very happy to kind of keep rolling with it and definitely optimism for the future then. That's quite refreshing to hear, I'd say.
Yeah.
Interesting. So, this is great, boys. I'm kind of in the middle of you two there, really. So, I think, you know, the golden age of the automotive enthusiast. What a question! And I do feel like it's now. I'm very happy
now?
To
really.
Yeah.
I'm
maybe
surprised.
Yeah, well, I'm trying to think of this holistically. I probably wouldn't say now as in 2024, but like of this era, you know, maybe end of the last decade, if you want to kind of pinpoint it.
I would have put you at 2010 to 2015 as being your, like, there's the peak for me.
Yeah, I mean, and I, you know, it could be somewhere, but maybe a couple of years after that, I would say maybe. Why do I think that? Again, looking at it holistically, while I'm very happy to entertain the idea that like the cars from the 80s are absolutely awesome, like kind of uninhibited by driver aids and everything else, you know, comparatively very lightweight, visceral sports cars. However, safety and reliability wasn't what it is now. And I think of, for example, and there's, yeah, a cautious fluffing going on here, but last year when I drove my car to Norway and back, that's a 25-year-old car that didn't miss a beat, absolutely fine. And I think, you know, if it was 1970, for example, could I have driven a 25-year-old car over 3,500 miles over 8 days with no issues? I think no. And the safety aspect as well, you know, bit more mundane, isn't it? A bit beige, but you have to consider it. So I kind of feel like, you know, the cars of today are brilliant in that regard, that offers everything, performance and reliability and safety. I worry about things going forward. And I think, it, you know, in our culture, this car culture, there's definitely evidence in the kind of mainstream media of our passion being a little bit more marginalized, kind of unfairly. So I worry about that. This kind of EVs being forced upon us, don't really agree with that. I think there are better alternatives. So I do kind of think maybe we're in the golden age right now and we just don't know it.
Yeah. You've got to live in the present, haven't you, to some degree?
Well, you have. I think there's a crossover there with kind of your belief there, Max. But it's quite interesting that you're interested to go forward, you know. And again, just going back to that like 718v992 thing, obviously I've made a career out of the Porsche 911 for the last 12 years. But, you know, going forward, I'm probably more likely to want to own a 718 than I am a 992.
Yeah.
And again, just comes down to like, you know, too much tech, too big, too heavy, too bulky, you know, whereas the 718 is a little bit more old school, really, in that regard. And I think, okay, well, what's after the 992? What's going to be a heavier car because it's going to be hybridization? Yeah. It's not going to get smaller, is it? And I think, do I want to own that car? Me personally, I don't think I do.
So, something I read, which was quite interesting, and I forget where it was. It was in the, how shall I describe it? Enthusiast focus, but mainstream motoring press. So it was like Car or Auto Car or Auto Express or Evo. I forget exactly, but it was a 718 thing, so, which I was interested in. Might have been Spider versus RS or, you know, GTS versus, you know, it was something like that. And one of the comments was in that, you know, sort of objective motoring journalist thing was that the cabin architecture and the tech of the 718 is a little bit outdated now.
It did. Well, yeah,
which is interesting.
But that's what appeals to us, isn't
exactly.
it?
Exactly. But then they acknowledge that it has a charm and the buttons and things, you know, there is some appeal. But if you're approaching it in that, you know, in that sort of auto car road test kind of thing compared to the to other cars that are available, I guess maybe it is a little bit old, in inverted commas.
Yeah.
And that was interesting. But
I guess it's because it's becoming, you know, it is at the end of its line, isn't it? How long has the 718 been out now?
When did that start? 8 years,
pretty much. Yeah.
But you know, I was talking to Craig about it, Craig Vartim, you know, Mr. Spider, and that's one of the things that he absolutely loves about it. You know, as a 991, 992, 718, Spider RS, everything owner, you know, he loves that combination of modernity and older architecture things. You know, that's absolutely core to the appeal of the car for him.
Yeah.
So, you know, so that's interesting. And I do think about something that you said to me, Lee, once I was trying to, you know, build up my own knowledge based on your experience vicariously. I think it was after you'd been to, maybe you'd been to Wales with the blue 992 Touring and the Carmine Red 901.2. And we were talking about, you know, how much you enjoyed that car. And I said to you, would you, if you were going to own a car, would you like a Metzger engined GT product or a newer DFI GT engine? And I think at that point, and these things are fluid and they might change, it was the modern, you know, it was the more recent car. And I thought, wow, that's interesting, because the Metzger motors are, you know, held up on a, you know, as being the ultimate.
Yeah.
And I thought, God, that was interesting, you know, because that is the, you know, that's the current GT product, essentially.
Yeah. Yeah. You know,
that's the 2024 car. Maybe it is the best.
100%. You know, also as well, Max, you know, I think when we look back on, say, in 20 years time, and we look at the fact that all around us right now, other manufacturers are making, and I'm talking about sports car and supercar brands, they're all going EV and kind of caving, basically. And well, let's take the politics out of it. So that, you know, they're all going EV for various reasons. Porsche sticking with, I mean, not just a internal combustion engine, no hybridization. Guys, GT product, no turbos inside.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And you know, in 20 years, will we be going, did those nutters, were they seriously making 4-litre, 500 horsepower, 5-litre atmospheric engines in the back of cars? Like, that's utterly mental, and we'd be going, yes, and track days were absolutely full of them, like, you know, there's nobody else is doing anything remotely like that, you know, nothing remotely like it. It's a race engine in the back of a road car with that power output per liter, which is still kind of, it's outrageous, you know. In 20 years time, will we look at that and go, no, that really was, we did not realize how lucky we had. That was amazing. You know, amazing.
Yeah. I was standing next to Pete Eswick's car in the car park of the Aikman on Sunday. I was looking at it and I was just thinking, my God, this thing is just, I just don't want anything more than that. I mean, Pete is a PDK car. I'd maybe have a manual, but, you know, the Cohiba, the Sofas, the Arctic Grey, of course, I'd have silver wheels, but I just thought, what's better? What's better?
Yeah.
I just ache to own that. But maybe one day.
Yeah, there's Drew on Instagram. Max, I saw you share his post about his new 992 GT3 RS. He wasn't a fan of it when it first came out because of the big wing and everything else. A lot of what Drew said on his Instagram post really resonated with me anyway. You know, first sight, you think it's ludicrous, it's outrageous, it's too much for me. But then when you look into the engineering behind it, and he cited some fantastic journalism by Motor Trend, and then like Patrick Long, I can't remember which track it did this lap in, but it was like a few seconds off a cup car. And you just go, you know, that's a GT3 RS. You know, it's lapping just a few seconds shy of a race car, a genuine race car. And this is a car that you can go to the shops in. You can drive down the street in it. And the engineering to make that happen is unbelievable. And it goes back where I had the GT3 RS press car at the end of last year. And again, I thought I would hate it. And in the end, it won me over in minutes, when you just think, this car is a race car. It's built to lap the Nordschleife. And here I am driving around the peninsula at Sandbanks and it's comfortable. And, you know, everything else, it was completely palatable. And the engineering behind that is phenomenal. And with the greatest respect, that wasn't possible from cars in the 80s. You know, as great as the 959 is, etc. And, you know, going forward, is it going to tap into that kind of visceral side that we as enthusiasts, what we love about sports cars? And that's when I think, oh, I don't know, maybe we are right on the bullseye right now.
F40 would be a little bit harder work on the peninsula, wouldn't it? But it would be bloody cool.
Exactly that. F40 is exactly that, you know. Or Jaguar. Well, I'm terrible with Jaguars. What's the big long thing?
XJ220.
Yeah, like, yeah, exactly that, you know. Exactly that. Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. You're quiet, Andy. What's your thoughts?
Oh, I'm still back in time, guys. I'm not with you. I'm really not.
930 turbo he's in.
Yeah. That's perfect. Maybe coming up to a 964, but that's, I don't know, even my 993, that was a bit modern for me, really, when I look back on it.
What about the 964 Turbo S, Andy, at Bicester?
That was mad.
964 Turbo S, lightweight. Ugh. The white one with the red interior.
That had 467 miles on it, I think.
Hasn't that been on the socials over the last couple of years? Been for sale and auctioned and not? And
there's a few cars that look the same, isn't there? Two or three that kind of, there's a Turbo S, there's a 3.8 RS, and silver one with a red interior. So they've all got a similar look about them, and they've come out of barns and things and come out of storage and stuff. So there's a little bit of confusion about the
three, isn't there?
Yeah.
Cosmodyne.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. Yes, there's a few cars around that sort of have similar story and similar look that it gets a bit confusing. But that was pretty weird. Yeah, I could go that. I could come up to that age.
See you in that.
Yeah. Well,
just bringing it back to the topic of conversation for the purpose of kind of hammering this point home. So when I think it was 2 years ago, or was it three now? I can't remember. Myself and two others, it was Paul and Nigel, we basically did a recce for what became the 996 road trip to Porsche Platz. And then last year for our Nine Works Porsche Platz pilgrimage. So we were wrecking the route. So we've gone from the UK to the Porsche Museum via a couple of stops, three cars, my 996, Paul's in a 903 Turbo S, Nigel had his 964 Turbo 3.6. And it was really hot. I think July we went, pulled over somewhere in France. And three cars stopped at the side road. I was leading, saw in the mirror, Nigel was kind of running up the side of the road towards me. opened the passenger door. We were chatting about something. First thing he said was, "Oh my God, aircon." And it was, you know, I just thought that's something I've completely taken for granted there. Like, he's absolutely sweating away in this, you know, 9-6 understeery, turbo laggy, you know, iconic 964, don't get me wrong, but the practicalities of which kind of fall down on a big, you know, pan-European road trip like that. Whereas there's me sitting in this like old snot box, basically, you know, barely shouldn't be sharing the road with these cars. And I've got, you know, all this kind of, yeah, frivolous luxuries in a way that some may say, but yeah, again, you know, like that's, it's a fantastic, it's iconic car. Would you want to drive across Europe in it? Oh, I don't think I would, to be fair.
I would. I don't mind a sweaty pit.
You're just,
I can deal with a sweaty pit.
Is it maybe other listeners may well agree with you, Andy, on it. And that's the thing, obviously, there's no right or wrong answer to it at all, is there really?
No, it'd be really interesting to hear other people's views, isn't it? What they think is peak car.
Yeah, definitely.
Should we each pick a 5-year band of where we're at?
Oh, great shout. Yeah.
Yeah, and we'll stick with that. So what's yours, Max? What's your 5-year band? I think you're present day backwards, aren't you?
Yeah, although that doesn't get me...
Not to answer that for you, but...
Yeah. When did 991R come out?
I knew you were going to say that. Yeah. So in my head, I was like, I'm going 2016 here. You can give me a couple of years either side of that, because that's the R, basically. So yeah. Are you jumping in there, Max, are you?
Okay, I'll go a little bit forward then, so you can squeeze in there.
I can share it. I don't mind.
Can you share it? Okay.
All right, should we do a 10-year band? Does that help you out, Max? Let's do 10-year band.
He's still going with the R, isn't he?
Yeah. So 2014 to 2024.
Yeah, I'm happy with that.
Yeah. And Lee, your 10-year band is?
I'd probably go the same, to be fair. Yeah, I'd go 2014 to 2024, because that'd give you...
I would have thought you would have put the 997 RS 4-litre in your little band.
Well, 2014, 2014, you just miss it. But you've got the R, and you know... Yeah, I'm happy with that. Give, because if Max is up to 2024, I could borrow some of his cars then, I guess, couldn't I?
No, you know.
So, yeah, maybe let's go 2012 to 2022.
All right.
And you, Andy, with yours, what I would say, because obviously it's going to be old, I'm going to gift you a complimentary bucket of sand so you can just put your head in it. And just carry on driving your ancient chod.
Yeah, I'll stick with my 1978 to 1988 for me.
Brilliant.
Thank you very much.
All right.
Brilliant.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think brilliant. That just, so I just about get a 964 in there then, don't I? Just. 1988, just.
Oh, no, I think you need 89, I think, to get a 964, don't you?
I'll stick with that. I'm sticking.
Well, you don't want to come forward just to get the 964 in?
I can do without.
Long live the telegram.
Indeed.
Which is great.
Fax machine was that out about then.
Okay.
Yeah. I remember definitely seeing a fax machine just after I left school in 1986.
Fantastic, Jed. Great. Really, really great conversation. And for people listening with this, whether it's on the Driven Not Hidden chat or elsewhere on social media, it'd be really interesting to spark a bit of a debate here. As you know, where's
your 10-year band?
Yeah, where do we perceive the golden age of automotive enthusiasm to be, really? The golden age of the sports car, more specifically.
Yeah. Okay. We have got a Nineworks Marketplace Gem of the Week. Ooh. To talk about, which is very exciting, but unfortunately it doesn't fit in our category, so I'm not sure we're allowed to go anywhere near it, but we've got to talk about it nonetheless.
If you are of the thinking, and if you are of the school of thought that the golden age of the sports car was around 997 Gen 2 era, then
and a lot of people are.
There's a lot of people in there.
I was trying to push you towards that, Lee. Yeah. I was trying to push you there.
Yeah. Not this time for me, I'm afraid. But yes, 997.2 generation, fantastic era, certainly of the 911. And our gem of the week comes from Harbour Cars this week, because they have got an unbelievable example in, ticks so many boxes. And this sort of car just does not come along very often at all. So 997 Gen 2 Turbo. Paint to sample, slate grey being an iconic PTS colour for Porsche fans all over the world. Extremely low miles, okay? 7,750 miles. That is it, okay? So this is a time warp car, really. Gives you everything, the might of the iconic 911 turbo, which was 500 horsepower by this time, in unbelievable condition with baby miles on the clock, really. Does it get any better, guys? Find another one. I know that's a cliche, but find another one.
I'm looking at it now on the it looks fantastic.
Yeah,
it
on really centre lock wheels amazing. As well. Yeah, that was standard spec on the S, but that was optional on the turbo. So it's a really, really nice example. It's got a big spec to it as well from memory. And it's just come in. Leather. Yeah, it's just come into the guys at Harbour Cars. You can take a look at it on the Nineworks marketplace, where you can find a host of other awesome cars. All stocked only at reputable specialists, and they're all backed by a comprehensive warranty. So you're buying a dream and not a headache, okay?
Love it. A dream. You're buying a dream.
Yeah.
Good work. Yeah.
Turnkey motoring, guys. Turnkey motoring. So yeah, that is a very worthy gem of the week. That. And absolutely. Congrats to whoever's going to own that next. That's an awesome piece of machinery.
Wicked.
Anybody got a spread the love?
Oh, I haven't. I've given a lot of love in this one.
Yeah, I've got one spread. I'll do a quick spread the love. It's a quick YouTube one, and we do that for all of us this week. And it's outside of the Porsche sphere, but it's all about. Do you remember the orange Lambo in Evo magazine? There was a Lamborghini Murciélago that featured in Evo magazine.
Oh, yeah. The
Simon George.
The gazillion miles one.
Yeah. It's now got 297,000 miles on that car. And he has just started a YouTube channel called Drivers Keepers. And he goes into the history of the car, and he did a little road trip up into Scotland. I actually drove that car way back when.
Because it was a driving experience.
It was indeed. Yeah. And that's where it's got most of its miles. Yeah. I think, it's got probably 160,000, 170,000 miles of track use has been that car. It's almost like Trigger's broom. I think only the roof and the doors are original. It's had new engines. It's had new front end. It's been in accidents. It's been in all sorts. But yeah, really, I really enjoyed watching that, seeing sort of the history of the car and how it's what it's been up to over the years since I drove it all the way back.
Since your sweaty pits are in it.
My sweet. I think it's got the registration SG54 Lamb, which means it's 2004, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I reckon I drove it probably in 2009, something like that. So it was only a few years old with not many miles on it. But I remember, I don't know who it was in the passenger seat that was instructing me, but I was told to keep a lid on the RPM because the engine had only just been rebuilt.
Right.
So, it's got some history, that car. So, yeah, that's my spread the love.
I like that one. Nice.
Drivers Keepers.
Drivers Keepers.
Sounds awesome. Awesome. Max, I know you, I'm putting you on the spot here completely. I know you'd said you were going to fire up Donners and DuckTales once the weather improves. Obviously, we're getting that way now.
Yes.
So any thoughts? I know you're going to maybe...
I did have a date in mind, but I realised that it clashed with either the Fair Mile or a Caffeine and Machine thing.
Okay.
So I sort of had it in mind. I was about to go with it, and then I thought, actually, no, that's not right, because everyone will be at the Fair Mile or at Caffeine and Machine air-cooled thing. So I need to come back. So I will come back on that one.
Something's come up soon.
Yeah, it's on its way. But rest assured, it's still there. I've been eating the kebabs and they're fantastic.
Wow, I can't wait, mate. Look forward to attending. Something I found out, actually, did you know the Doner kebab actually comes from Germany?
Yes.
Oh, well, there we go. Oh. Pissed on my fireworks. Yeah. Oh, well, moving on.
Shall I give you a quick update? We've had quite a few new members over the holiday period, but I'll just do a two or three catch up and save the rest for another week. So Kevin Fellon, who is a privateer, has joined us. He is in Oxen, Chip in Norton, and he drives a modified 997 turbo manual.
Nice.
Sounds a beast. Wicked. Been yeah It's been reading the mag and watching YouTube for many years.
Fantastic.
Finally decided to join us. Next up is Kevin Prosser. He's a works driver. And he is based, he has had a couple of Boxster 986s in the recent past. And he actually bought a 991 just after he joined. So this is Kevin bought his from Harbour Cars.
Yeah, the black one.
Indeed, the black one, yes.
Yeah, lovely car that is.
Yeah, I think we encouraged him to strap on those buying boots.
On the boots.
I'd like to say.
And do you know what, actually, Chris at Harbour Cars, lovely touch, installed a Nineworks sticker on the inside and outside.
Oh, he did, didn't he? Yes, of course.
Yeah, of the windscreen, which I thought the inside was a nice trick turned around. So when you look at it in the mirror, it's still the right way around. Yeah. That's a great little attention to detail. But yeah, Kevin, congratulations, mate. That's awesome. And yeah, what a start to DNHC life. That's fantastic.
I reckon he was about 3 days in and he sent me a text message. These guys at Harbourside, what do you reckon to them? Should I go and see the cars at the weekend? I said, yeah, go on, you should do. Because, we'd had good experience there.
So, so it's your fault.
Yeah, all my fault. Well done, Kevin. And one last one is Chris Mulnex, or Mulnex.
Molyneux,
sorry. Thank you. Rookie driver based in Nottingham. Has met Lee a couple of times at Fried Eggs and Friends, as he owns a 996 C2 Aero kit and also a 994 Turbo.
Yeah, great couple of cars. The Taco Wings 996 in particular was looking lovely at Fried Eggs and Friends up in Wigan a couple of weeks ago. It was really nice to share a conversation there.
Yeah.
So fantastic, absolutely fantastic.
Excellent. I'll save more for another week.
Excellent. Brilliant. Lovely jubbly. We've just a quick note. We've got a Fried Eggs and Friends at Charade Accident Repair. That's Sunday, the 12th of May. It's a cars and coffee from 9 a.m. to 11. And then from 11 a.m. till midday, you have the chance, ladies and gentlemen, to meet Max Newman, because the three of us are going to be doing a live podcast with the guys at Charade. And Max is happy to hang around at the end to sign anything, body parts, car panels, anything. You're going to do it, Max. No, you definitely said that to me. I'm sure you did. So you've got an opportunity to meet Max as well. And
Arthur Daly will be there as well. I'll bring some merch.
Yeah, brilliant. Yeah, you'll be there with a suitcase. Brilliant. Yeah, so that's, Sunday the 12th of May at Charade Accent Repair in Bristol. If you'd like a ticket, tickets are free. It's one ticket required per car. If you'd like a ticket, just email me, hello@nineworks.co.uk, and I shall furnish you with the golden ticket.
Wicked.
Fantastic, gents. Anything else?
Done.
That's it.
Brilliant. Always a pleasure, never a chore. I'll see you next episode.
That was great fun. See you soon.
Bye.
This episode was brought to you by our very kind Driven Not Hidden Collective. If you would like to join the collective to get further access and rewards within the Nineworks community, you can do so at patreon.com/Nineworks. You can also support us by leaving a 5-star review on your favourite podcast app.